Cameron and John Ritchie. I don't even know how to discuss what John and I were just discussing privately. Let's just say, it gets a little uncomfortable sometimes.
Oh, man.
We'll leave it at that, at least for now.
I think we should leave it at that.
Hey, coming up at 11:30, we're going to talk to Derek Bodner. You know, there's some weird stuff kicking around with the different possibilities with the Sixers and Ben Simmons. So if you haven't followed that, Damian Lillard wants to play with Ben. Ben wants to play with Damian Lillard. Of course, we want to see the Sixers trade Ben for Damian Lillard, but a more reasonable option could be trading him for C.J. McCollum. But then C.J. McCollum yesterday was diagnosed with a collapsed lung. I mean, the whole thing is just so bizarre. We'll talk to Derek Bodner coming up at 11:30 for his perspective on all of this stuff related to the Sixers and Ben Simmons. All right, for more perspective, though, on the Birds, let's talk to our man who does a great job covering the Eagles. You can follow his work at Shil Kapadia on Twitter, covering both the Eagles and the entire National Football League. We talk to him every Wednesday at this time after he's had a chance to review the game tape of the last game, and there's an awful lot to discuss with Shil Kapadia today. How you doing, Shil?
What's up, guys? Doing well. How you doing?
Good, man. Shil, I want to get into that last game and then sort of move it ahead, but let's just start with this. I believe Howie's doing a very good job with the rebuild, and I don't think the town has fully taken stock of that yet, certainly not appreciated it yet. And I'm curious, I'll give you a double-edged question here. How do you think Howie's doing with the rebuild, and your instincts right now, should he be the general manager next season? Not will he. We know he will be. Should he be?
You know, in terms of the rebuild, I think it's been okay. You know, I don't know that I would agree that he's done a remarkable job. You know, I don't know that they've done a lot so far. I mean, they've got some good young players, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Jordan Mailata of the offensive line. But, like, the big question is, what are you going to do at quarterback?
Yep.
And that remains to be seen. And so they've stockpiled all these assets. I think they did a good, he did a good job of that in the offseason. But really, it's going to come down to the 2022 offseason and what they do there. So, you know, in terms of should he be the GM, I thought last year it would have been a great time to make a clean break from everything and go in a different direction. But now that you've sort of, you know, made him the guy who you're going to have, you know, accumulate all these assets, I would assume, and, you know, I could see this as something that makes sense, that you're going to go ahead and let him kind of decide what to do with those assets.
But what about what about your personal opinion? Should he be the GM?
You know, it's a hard question for me to answer. You know, I think he's okay. It kind of depends on what your other options have been. I think the biggest issue he's had and they've had is fostering a culture of collaboration and openness where everyone's pulling in the same direction. I think there's been too much infighting, which we detailed in a long article in The Athletic in the offseason, where, you know, there are these different factions, whether it's analytics, ownership, the front office, coaching, and they're not all pulling in the same direction, and he's the one voice. So it wouldn't be a bad idea for me, you know, if I were kind of advising, to see is there another setup that makes sense. But, you know, I'm not comfortable saying a guy should be fired or shouldn't get fired at this point in time, but, you know, that's just kind of how I see it.
That's a great point, though. That one voice, that lack of collaboration, been just the, you know, the elephant in the room.
Sure. All right, Shil, let's get to the last game, and then we'll spin it forward. Gardner Minshew obviously played well. What did the game tape show of his performance, and how, in your opinion, he rates comparative to Jalen Hurts?
Well, I mean, they're totally different styles. To be honest, I thought the game tape with Minshew was pretty underwhelming. I know the numbers were great. I know, you know, they had a fantastic – offensive performance. I think Nick Sirianni actually deserves a lot of credit for that. I mean, he has really adapted to maximizing the personnel that he has at his disposal. You know, if you look at this game, I thought there were a couple of really nice plays Gardner Minshew made. One was the first touchdown to Dallas Goedert, where he kind of has to avoid pressure and make a throw downfield. He did a nice job there. And there was another throw to Quez Watkins, where, again, Gardner Minshew was kind of rolling to his left and had to make an accurate throw to Quez Watkins, and he did a good job there. Aside from that, it was a heavy dose of screens. It was a heavy dose of checkdowns, and I actually thought Minshew's accuracy and ball placement, I know this is going to sound stupid because he was 20 for 25, but if you're talking about ball placement, it was not great in this game. I mean, he was consistently underthrowing guys, throwing behind receivers. There was a play to Quez Watkins down the field that was a 22-yard completion in the box score. If that's a good throw, it's probably a 44-yard touchdown. You know, the second touchdown to Dallas Goedert, I mean, he's open by a mile And really, you need to lead him there, and he shouldn't be having to fight through contact to get to the end zone. So you could say I'm nitpicking. I'm just telling you what I saw going
through.
No,
that's fair. No, I mean, it was very clear that his lack of arm strength made receivers slow down to wait for the ball times. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. And so they're two very different quarterbacks. I mean, going forward, I would go with Jalen Hurts. I think Minshew, his strength over Hurts or his advantage would be that he's more accurate generally in the short and intermediate part of the field. But I think they're probably comparable downfield. Hurts might even be better than him there. Hurts gives you a dynamic element in the run game. I mean, he's already run for what, almost 700 yards. And so I think there's a case of recency bias where that was probably the best game statistically of Gardner Minshew's career, whereas Jalen Hurts is coming off his worst game of the season. So I think that's why we look at it and say, wow, who should it be going forward? But if you look at the larger body of work, I think Hurts is the better option.
Sheila, is Nick Sirianni more comfortable designing and calling plays for Gardner Minshew than he is for Jalen Hurts?
That might be fair, John, because you look at it. I mean, this looked more like what we saw in the first, six, seven games of the season where we said, why are they running this offense? Yeah, I think that's fair because, you know, if we're going to assume that what they did early in the season is what Sirianni actually wants to do, then, yes, that type of offense where you're throwing the ball more, it's a lot of short completion, that would be Minshew's advantage. And so, you know, the stuff with the run game, I think Jeff Stoutland probably takes a bigger role in designing that stuff, and that's really been the backbone of the team. So, yeah, I think that's probably fair to say.
How bad was the Jets' defense?
It was bad. I think it's the worst, you know, defense in the NFL statistically. They just don't have a lot of talent there. They don't do a lot of interesting things. I mean, that second Goddard touchdown, it's very rare that you see a guy that open in the NFL where they ran a little pick play with Boston Scott and the Jets don't communicate it or fight through it at all or see it coming at all. And so it's my point earlier, like that's not a throw that you say, hey, Gardner Minshew makes that throw and Jalen Hurts doesn't. No, Jalen Hurts could absolutely make that throw. So yeah, there were more examples in this game of guys running wide open. And I got to say this Eagles offensive line, I mean, I'm not an offensive line aficionado, but when I watch a run like they had with Kenneth Gainwell, that 18-yard touchdown, and
the
you
power.
See how beautiful power with Nate Herbig pulling to the left side and Jordan Mailata just taking two guys out and Jalen Reagor coming in at the end on the safety and everyone doing their job. I mean, that's where I look at it and say, hey, this coaching staff deserves some credit. They are, you know, for some of these plays, they really are executing at a high level, and it all starts with that offensive line.
What is the biggest problem with our defense?
Oh, this was a bad defensive performance. You know, this wasn't like a couple plays early on. The Jets went up and down. The Jets' offense has been terrible with Zach Wilson. They go up and down the field against the Eagles in the first half. And in the second half, to me, the Eagles didn't figure anything out. Zach Wilson was missing throws. I mean, the film is littered with plays that Zach Wilson left on the field. Darius Slay got beat by a double move. Avante Maddox got beat by Elijah Moore. And Zach Wilson did not make a lot of those plays. So, I think a big issue that creeps up to me is that specifically their linebackers in zone coverage, they're too often, they're covering green grass. And, you know, that's not zone coverage in the NFL. You're playing zone, but you got to find who's nearby. What are the routes that are kind of developing on the field? How can I get near one of these opposing receivers? And they don't do a good job of that. And so that kind of shows up. That showed up a lot earlier in the season, and that showed up a lot in this game. So I think that's one thing that has really stood out to me.
Wow, that's a great point. And is that just teaching, or is that a lack of personnel that has a good feel for how to play coverage?
Yeah, I think it's personnel at linebacker. I mean, come on, look at who they're putting out there at linebacker. They're okay against the run. You know, certain weeks you can look at it and say, hey, they played really well. But look at their talent there compared to the rest of the league. It's not a hot take to say it's below average, probably among the worst in the NFL. So part of that is, what you have to work with and can you coach it up to get to a level where it's competent. Well, some weeks they can, and some weeks they can't.
Sheil Kapadia with us here. All right, Sheil, so both sides of the ball, you know, this is a week where bye week, it's normally earlier, opportunity for the coaching staff to self-scout and to make adjustments. Based on what you've seen through 13 games now, if you're the coaching staff coming out of the bye week, what would you adjust? Who would you play less? Who would you play more? What style would you play different? What changes would you make?
Yeah, defensively, I don't think there's a lot of personnel changes to be made. I would say, you know, let's just be, if we're going to go down, let's go down swinging a little bit. Let's not go down playing two deep shells and giving up, you know, 8-yard completions on 3rd and 7. And that, you know, you can do that at times against certain teams, but I think, you know, you do have to mix in a more aggressive style. I actually think you have corners who are pretty good playing man coverage, you know, certainly competent, mediocre. And so I think you just cannot get stuck into a situation where you're doing the same things over and over again, like we saw earlier in the season, and not taking it to opposing quarterbacks. I would not want to have a game in the Final Four where it feels like the opposing quarterback didn't really have to sweat and didn't really, you know, have to think about what was coming his way, you know, before the snap. And so that would be defensively. Offensively, I think a lot of the things with Jalen Hurts that they're going to do have been good. The creative run game, I would continue to lean on him in the run game. Personnel-wise, I think you have to have, you know, something on your call sheet or in your meetings that say plays for Devontae Smith and get him involved early. You know, he cannot be having as few targets as he's had, as little production as he's had. Now, it is partially a quarterback problem. Even in this game, there are multiple instances I can point out where Devontae Smith is open and could have made a play downfield and the ball didn't go his way. So maybe you're coaching up the quarterback, say, hey, you know, if it's there, let's give him a shot. Let's not be shy about giving him opportunities. But everything to me offensively in the passing game, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, 6 and 88. You just have to layer that into the offensive game plan week after week after week, and it's sort of been hit or miss to me in that respect so far this season.
Shiel, back to our defense. Steven Nelson, you know, had a couple rough plays out there, and I was wondering how much of that was Steven Nelson's play and how much of that was he was relying on help that never came. Is he having a good season for us?
Yeah, I think he's given you what you hope to get from him, which is competent veteran-level play. But you are right about that, John. He did give up a couple third-down conversions. It looked to me on the touchdown like Anthony Harris was supposed to, you know, giving him some help to the inside. I think he bit up a little bit on play action, and all of a sudden there's no one there, and you give up the touchdown. So I think it's probably both those things. You know, I don't think he's been like a great player, a Pro Bowl caliber player, but I think he's been a solid, competitive, feisty corner for them, and I think that's what kind of you were expecting from him coming into the season when you signed him on that 1-year deal.
Shiel, I know that you take close notes on everything that goes on in the NFL, and something that's concerned all of us is the play of Carson Wentz and whether he gets to that 70 or 75% play threshold. How well has he played for the Colts this year?
Yeah, they have not, you know, it's been very interesting watching their approach. They are not putting these games on Carson Wentz's shoulders. I mean, they are a run the ball offense with Jonathan Taylor. And so what they're asking from Carson Wentz is a couple, you know, maybe a handful of big plays every game, whether it's with his arm or with his legs. And he's done that. He looks much more comfortable. I would compare it to what he looked like in 2018 and 2019. He's not the 2017 MVP caliber Carson Wentz. I don't think that guy's coming back. He's not the 2020 version of Carson Wentz, who is one of the worst starters in the NFL. He's operating the offense. They're not asking him to do too much. I think Frank Reich's done a fantastic job with that offense because it's not the most talented offense in the league by any stretch, but it's operating like a top 10 offense right now, and they've played good complimentary football. So I think he's, you know, Carson Wentz, I would say, has been mediocre, probably in that kind of 12 to 15 type starter in the NFL. And I think that's kind of what, you know, the most likely outcome for him going forward.
Is he worth the $34 million we're paying him?
No. And I don't think, you know, and if you're, you know, if the question, if the follow-up question to that is, should the Eagles have made the trade? I would say yes. You know, I think the compensation you got for him was much more than I thought they were going to get. And so he's not a top-level quarterback. And so, you know, I think there still could be issues that could turn up, whether it's him turning the ball over. That hasn't happened as much this year, but you still see some plays on film where you go, what was he thinking here? Those are certainly still there. The durability is always going to be a question. And then, you know, the accuracy has been better this year, but that's always something that can kind of creep up.
All right, Shiel, final thing here. This whole Eagle season, as far as playoff possibilities, could come down to the Eagles and Washington. Gut feeling right now, is one team better than the other, or is it a toss-up?
It's a toss-up. I think the Eagles are probably, you know, might be a little bit better than Washington. I think Washington's defense is playing a lot better now than it did earlier in the season. Their offense is really, you know, nothing to write home about. They're not the most talented group. They're trying to make the most of what they have with Antonio Gibson at running back. Terry McLaurin is a very good wide receiver, but, you know, the quarterback play, I know the numbers have looked a little bit better with Taylor Heineke, but, you know, he's going to be a mediocre quarterback. So I think they're in the same group. If I look at it, you know, my most likely outcome would be that they probably split these two games down the stretch.
Shield, great stuff. Again, everyone follow Shield's work at Shield Kapadia. And if at Shield Kapadi on Shield, I always get you and Bodner and everyone confused. Do you have the NFL? Do you have the NBA? No, you're just at Shield Kapadia. Nice and easy. Thanks, buddy.
That's the beauty. When your name is Shield Kapadia, Joe, you don't have to add any numbers. You don't have to add any NFL.
Well, then why is Bodner at Derek Bodner NBA? Listen, would you tell him that it messes me up? Why isn't he just
change his name? You get a nice,
probably
unique
another Derek
Indian
Bodner,
name, like,
buddy. You think about
nice,
that?
Nice, unique Indian name like I've got, and you don't have to worry about doing all that.
Shield, stay good, man. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys.
Thanks,
Shield.
There he
is, Shield Kapadia. Classic. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. You can watch and wager on all pro and college sports online at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, do you want Howie Roseman to be the Eagles general manager next season? Three choices today. A, yes. B, no. C, not sure yet. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We will talk to Derek Bodner about the latest with the 76ers coming up in about 15 minutes. By the way, coming up in about 40 minutes, AMA at noon, you ask, we answer. So, of course, the key is you got to ask questions. Get them in on Facebook, the text line, and on Twitter. Three different ways you can interact with the show in addition to the regular phone lines. What do you want to know? Fire off some great questions. Seltzer will choose the best of the best and ask them to us at noon. Let's go to Jay right now. Jay, you're on WIP.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
Morning, Jay.
Morning, Jay.
So let's just get down to it. Howie is not a good GM. And why is that? Because because Howie keeps getting bailed out by getting a new head coach and getting a new quarterback every few years. So he gets to clean up his mistakes, and then it's a revolving door over and over again. And his draft picks aren't that good. I mean, if they were good, we would have Justin Jefferson, and we would have Metcalf on our staff, leaving Carson Wentz still on our team because he would have somebody to throw to.
Well, they were massive mistake picks. I mean, there's no other way to put it. An absolute egregious mistake, two different times.
I mean, not just that, but, like, I mean, every year it's just, you know, a revolving door of his past mistakes. And then he's cleaning up by getting free agents to clean up after those mistakes. And
well, I mean, yeah, you kind of chase the tail. You make a mistake, you got to keep getting after it. But I will say, Jay, I think there's more hits than you might realize. I really do. I mean, there's, you know, this team – early this year looked bereft of talent, and I don't think it does anymore. They look like they got more parts than
when they play the Jets and the Lions. I mean, we just talked to Shield, who said that our defense has trouble just performing coverage because of the personnel.
The defense clearly needs a whole nother offseason to get right. But I'll tell you, John, that offensive line, when they went against the Saints and the Saints were number one in the league, like totally aside.
Our offensive line is awesome.
That was big time. That was big time.
Awesome, yeah. And it's deep.
Yeah, it is
so
deep.
So, yeah, you can only give a glowing referendum on the way the offensive line has come together. You know, a lot of that is Jeff Stoutland also.
Of course it is. All right, Jay, give me a great movie with a place in the title.
Coming to America.
Coming to America.
Ooh,
is a good answer.
Great answer.
So, John, James, have you guys seen the second one? I still have not.
I haven't.
I have not yet either.
And I think it was direct.
I haven't
to,
even heard much about it.
It was on Amazon Prime. It was direct to Amazon Prime.
I heard it was not good. That's all I know.
I heard it was mediocre.
Okay.
It was like, you know, 50 on Rotten Tomatoes kind of thing.
Yeah, that's not.
It's a shame.
It is a shame.
It's troubling.
Because that was, what, around 1990-ish?
The original? Yeah, somewhere in there.
So it was about 30 years. It came out, I don't know, 6 to 12 months ago, I think, and... Yeah, just, I don't know. I'll get to it at some point, but I'm not running to it.
Not
because,
as excited. Yeah, I know. I'll watch it at some point. I will get there.
That'll be like, if Top Gun 2 stinks, that'll stink.
Prepare yourself, buddy.
I kind of feel like they're going to do it right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Gut feeling is that it'll be pretty good. But
I don't know, man. The delays that they've – now, I understand
well, that's
there,
totally,
a, lot,
that's
there
different.
Was a lot that's going on.
Yeah, that's completely different. That's
but
they,
there are times when a movie's delayed as much as this one has been,
nah.
And it ends up being – they had good reason to be delaying.
Yeah, but that's not this. This is they think it has. I tell you exactly what it is. They think it has a chance to make hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and they don't want it to come out in a time when people are not inclined to go to a movie theater. I respect that. I mean, if you got some schmo movie, put it out now, sure. But if you've got what you think is a potential blockbuster, you know, now's not the time to put it out.
It doesn't seem like it makes that much sense to just sit on a movie like they're
sitting. Well, nothing's going to change. I mean, the story is the story. It's not
Joe's right about that, but yeah. I also am still concerned. I mean, Tony Scott made the original. He passed away, so it's a new director, new thing.
No Kelly McGillis. The travesty. No Kelly McGillis.
Hey,
So I guess it didn't end up together is the moral of that story.
There you go.
No, no. Speaking of things that we're watching.
Yes.
You know, Yellow Jackets. I told you guys I was watching that. It's like a series on Showtime. You should check it out.
Okay, Yellow Jackets. Yellow
yeah,
Jackets.
My wife randomly, she hasn't seen it, but she mentioned it to me randomly like 2 days ago. It was like, have you heard about this show, Yellow Jackets?
Yeah.
And
I just stumbled upon it, and it's a girls' high school soccer team that ends up going down in a plane crash on their way to a finals or something like
made
that.
Made up or real?
Yes, it's made up. Okay. It's pretty dark.
Oh, God.
It's kind of scary.
All right.
It's pretty good. It's got Juliette Lewis and I forget
all
her
right.
name.
Yellow Jackets. Fair enough. There you go.
Yeah.
Let's go to Sean right now. Sean, good morning, buddy.
What's up, guys? Happy holiday season.
Happy holidays,
to
Sean.
You as well, Sean.
Now, I just wanted to say, I don't really know too much about how like the front office works and everything, but is there a way we could keep Howie Roseman and have somebody come in and evaluate talent and just have Howie Roseman be like the contract guy? Because I think he's good at that.
Well, can you do it? Yes. But I think Howie would not accept it, meaning he'd probably just ask to be fired. I mean, what you're saying is to replace him as the final decision maker. So, sure, you could try that.
I don't think it's in any human's nature to say, hey, you know what? I'll give up some of that say that I just had yesterday. And you can take that from me, and I'll sit on my hands.
Because remember, Sean, that's what the Sixers did to Sam Hinkie. Sam Hinkie, in the end, resigned because they took away his power of having the final decision. So he just said, okay, well, I'll just leave.
Do you think Howie Roseman would rather step down or reduce his
power? I think
power?
He would rather step down. I think Howie, who at one time was neutered here, I don't think would.
I don't think he'd play nice.
No, he wouldn't.
If you tried to do that, it's not so much the worry that he would step down. It's the worry that he could potentially undermine the goings-on within that building.
Yeah, I mean, it would not be a good strategy. To me, I mean, I don't know. Either have him or don't have him, but don't – he's advanced too far to, in my opinion, to then say, okay, you're just numbers guy, negotiate a contract and stuff. I mean, it's – I just think it would be a foolish way to have the program be centered.
Gotcha. And I got two more things real quick. I'll make them quick.
Yep.
One, Gardner Minshew as a backup, I think is a great choice for everybody saying like they don't want him here as a backup. We have to remember our starter is Jalen Hurts right now. It's not Carson Wentz. Exactly. Jalen is going to put the work in regardless of who's playing on the field or who's sitting on the bench. Like it doesn't matter. And then also with the rebuild, I mean, I think the over-under this year for our wins is like 6.5. And we're right there. Like, we're going to go over that.
Yeah.
So I think the rebuild's been successful as far as, like, this year is concerned.
I agree with you. Sean, give me a great movie that's got a place in the title.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right, you got it, man.
Great answer.
Yeah, that is a very good answer and a very good movie. 215-592-9494. Up ahead, we talked to Derek Bodner. All sorts of stuff going on this week with the Sixers and Ben Simmons and possibilities. We'll hit that. And, of course, the guys that are on the floor as they face Charlotte once again tonight. The rare back-to-back with the day off in Charlotte to play the Hornets. What is up with that? We'll talk to Bodner next. And are they really going to move toward trading Ben Simmons soon? Or are we going to be waiting for, like, forever? We'll ask Bodner all that and more up ahead. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Hey, it's gift card season, and Wawa is your one-stop shop for all gift cards. From Wawa gift cards, Wawa e-gift cards, or a gift card from your favorite brand, Wawa has a gift card for anyone on your list. Stop in and get a Wawa gift card for someone special, like a coworker, your mail carrier, your landscaper, trash collector. Look, it's all conveniently available on a rack right there at the register, and the amounts, they start at just $10. While there, of course, you can pick up a card from your favorite brands like Amazon, Google, Sony, or Microsoft. So stop in and get a Wawa gift card, a great gift for anyone on your list. right, Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. You know, our next guest does a sensational job covering the 76ers and the NBA. And covering the Sixers and the NBA these days involves, well, an awful lot when it comes to Ben Simmons, which we have a lot to talk about with our next guest about. And, of course, the team that actually does take the floor. And, of course, you can follow his work at Derek Bodner, NBA, on Twitter. Mr. Derek Bodner with us. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing great, Joe.
All right, so this is like as the world turns, twists and turns just in the last 48 hours or so. So let's just make sure I got this right. So Damian Lillard, who I'd love to see play for the Sixers, traded for Ben Simmons. Never thought it was going to happen, but he says he wants to play with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons likes something on social media to that point. The guy that the Trailblazers could trade for Ben Simmons, CJ McCollum, his lung collapsed from a situation in a game 2 days ago. And so, like, here we go again. Maybe they were about to make a trade, and now this one could be off the table for some time. Let me just start with this, Derek. Do you think Ben Simmons is going to get traded anytime soon?
Well, you also missed that there is growing concern that the contract extension that Damian Lillard is going to ask for next summer has left the Blazers possibly unlikely to pay him that. So, there's a lot going on for
you. Yeah, yeah.
Ben Simmons, do I think he's going to be traded? What was the question? Like, what time frame?
Just do you think it's going to happen soon? I know next Wednesday is when these players with certain types of contracts in the NBA can be traded. So yeah. The thought has been that could open up. Hey, here we go. Let's trade them around Christmas. Do you think there's really going to be the window there, or are we just going into January and February and March and 2023? Like, what are we dealing with here?
No, I think the most likely thing is you're going into January and February. I think what the December 15th deadline does is it just makes it easier to facilitate a deal because of all the players that can be moved, because of all the salary that can match. If there are two teams that are motivated to make a deal, you still have to get to the point where teams are motivated to make a deal. That doesn't really change on December 15th. It just becomes more likely that you can find agreement if that does happen. So I think, you know, still, I think you're starting to see a little bit of discontent around the league with the Pacers. With the Blazers, you're starting to see teams who are more motivated to make a trade now than they were a month ago. But I still think we're going to have to build towards a trade deadline.
Let me ask you this question, Derek. I'm almost certain I know the answer. I'm going to ask it to make a point. When Ben Simmons likes a post on social media linking him to play with Damian Lillard, can that be considered in some way an offense by which the 76ers can suspend him without pay for conduct detrimental to the team? He's saying he wants to play with another player on another team.
No. I mean, the NBA has been pretty clear that they don't really look to enforce player-to-player tampering like they do front office to player tampering. It would be almost impossible
for them to enforce. It's just so weak on the NBA's part, though. I mean, how is it not conduct detrimental to the team when a player indicates he wants to play for another team?
I mean, you don't know why Ben's liking that, though. Like, his argument and the league's argument would be, hey, I'm just acknowledging that a player likes me and that another star likes me.
We all know it's just phony baloney. It's all nonsense.
Sure, but I mean, I've also seen this. I've been covering this league enough where players like social media posts all the time and we read into it and it means nothing. I think you're mostly looking for a reason to find Ben, which I get,
yes,
but I don't think it's going to happen.
That's correct.
So what are the exact details on this? Dame says he wants to play with Ben. He has said he wants to stay in Portland, so we're assuming that means Ben would go to Portland and we would get CJ McCollum, right? Is it also understood that Damian Lillard no longer wants to play with CJ McCollum?
Well, I think Damian Lillard, I'm just speculating here. I don't have an insight on Damian Lillard's thought process, but I think from Damian Lillard's standpoint, he wants to win, and he's never been able to really do that in Portland. I think he probably believes that getting an elite defender Ben Simmons will do more to help them win with McCollum. I don't think it's necessarily personal with McCollum, but I think he's probably been there long enough where he sees that you need to change something up and that backcourt isn't going to be good enough defensively to compete.
So the details of CJ McCollum's collapsed lung, it's not something I'm familiar with, like coming back from a collapsed lung. How badly does this set everything back?
Yeah, well, I don't entirely know either. I've seen everything from could be out a couple of weeks to he could be out for the rest of the season. I truthfully don't know exactly how long that's going to be. I think the bigger issue, though, is that I don't think Daryl Morey had any real interest in CJ McCollum. You know, the rumor of the report that was over the summer was that if he was going to make a trade for Simmons for McCollum, he wanted like four first-round picks and swaps. Really what he's looking there is to get as many assets as he could to flip and acquire another piece because I don't think he believes CJ McCollum is enough, and I don't think that's really changed. And I think there's some merit to that. You know, I think pairing McCollum with Seth Curry, with Tyrese Maxey, would maybe give you the worst defensive backcourt I've ever seen. That would be really tough to build a contender around. I think Daryl Morey isn't really looking for CJ McCollum. And I think that's a bigger impediment. I don't think really sets anything back in that regard, because I think that's a bigger impediment than whether or not Portland would trade McCollum.
You know, Derek, and Derek Bodner's with us right now. Derek, I've made the point in recent weeks that I think the Sixers are missing Ben Simmons, and there's a lot of people that tell me I'm wrong, that in the absence of him, somehow they're better without him. I think it's lunacy. Can you please clear up for those that don't understand it that they are not as good a team when he doesn't play and they haven't traded him yet?
Oh, they 100% miss him, especially in the regular season. We can have an argument about whether or not his offensive limitations in the playoffs hurt you too much in the half court. And there's an argument to be made there, although I think it'd be overdone a little bit. In a regular season, he's a fantastic player. He helps you win games. He helps you become a top defense in the league. Right now, one of their big problems is the fact that they just, even with Joel Embiid on the court, even with Joel Embiid playing games, they haven't been good enough defensively. They've been anywhere from mediocre to bad in the games that Embiid has been out. Ben Simmons would help that a lot. He'd help them get out in transition. He would certainly help them be a better. Right now, they're very, very reliant on either Joel Embiid being great offensively or for them shooting unsustainably hot from the perimeter to win games, because they don't have the defense to overcome when they have an off night. He would absolutely help them in the regular season, no doubt.
What does the reported possible Pacers rebuild mean for potential Ben Simmons transactions?
Probably not much directly, because the one player that I think would really be interesting in Brogdon, they can't trade because they just gave an extension to. I think it sort of goes back to where we started this off with, which is that if you get to a point where there's another team who really wants Ben Simmons and wants to make a move, you now have another team who can get in there in a three-team deal. And I think really when you start talking about Ben Simmons trades, it's going to have to be a three- or a four-team deal to get everybody satisfied with their return. I think that's what the Pacers could – you know, anytime you have a team willing to trade some talent and some salary, they could help facilitate a larger deal. And I think that's where they would come into play.
You know, Derek, you're a smart dude, and you understand the nature of my questions as I ask them. So I'm going to ask another leading question just because I want to get it off my chest. When the Sixers finally trade Ben Simmons – and he plays in either the first or second game for the new team that just acquired him, let's say it happens during the season, what is the commissioner going to say when a guy who deems himself unable to play for one team in one town suddenly, miraculously, is completely able to play for another team in another town, you know, like 2 or 3 days later?
Well, I don't know what Adam Silver will say, but I think he should call you up and have that conversation directly with you on the air.
That's just,
well, that'd be good.
It's Adam Silver,
no
guy,
idea.
Man. He's just. And Derek, where is it right now? Are they not paying him right now? Are they paying him? Does it go back and forth? And we just don't even know sometimes. What's the latest on whether Ben Simmons is collecting these $300,000 a game paychecks?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I do think, from what I understand, he was fined relatively recently. I don't know exactly which game that was. But yeah, I think he is. They are at least getting some fines in there. I'm not 100% sure, though.
Yeah, but even if he's fines 15 different games, it's still 67 game checks he can get this year. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous. I'm disgusted.
Where's he playing right now?
That's a good question. You ask Howard on that. I think Howard has the latest breaking news on that one.
All right, Derek, appreciate you joining us, man, as always. We look forward to when this is resolved, and certainly look forward to hopefully the Sixers being a better team, because right now – they are a middling team. I mean, they're a 500 type team, and some of that's related, obviously, to guys missing games with COVID. But they're just not nearly clicking on all cylinders like they, for the most part, did last year. Thank you, Derek.
Yep, my pleasure.
All right,
thanks,
again,
Derek.
At Derek Bodner for everyone at Derek Bodner NBA on Twitter. I mean, John, it's, you hear my frustration, because you know if they trade him, let's just say they trade him January 12th, you know he's playing for another team by January 16th. Like, maybe he takes one game off to reacclimate. You know, he's got to find a spot to live, and they're going to be a press conference, and they might want to give the illusion that, well, you know, he's got to figure something out. He'll play by the second game. So, I mean, James, I'm right about that, right? He's going to get traded.
They might not because of what you're talking about.
What, so like, they make him sit out 10 days?
Yeah, they might. I honestly, that would be smart of them. I mean, Clutch has not been very smart throughout this whole thing, but it would be smart, right? I mean, that would be, it would be, to your point, showing what a charade it was if they don't do that. So my guess is if he gets traded, he doesn't play right away. That would be my guess.
The whole thing is, it is so unbelievable. Let's go to the
Max
phones.
Deal.
Oh, I mean,
max deal. I can't. Do
I mean,
that.
Well, he was a future Hall of Famer. Can you blame them?
Yeah, I.
No, we're taking a shot at you.
Yes, I'm taking a shot at you.
Yeah, well, yes. I know. All right, let's go to. Let's remember part of the reason I said that is the NBA or the Basketball Hall of Fame has low standards. Okay, let's remember that. Vlade Divac, Hall of Famer. You know, so let's just understand where I was coming from with some of that. Which, by the way, I'll stand by.
Where you were coming from
Look,
was crazy.
As
he,
Mr.
He hadn't even played yet.
Yeah.
He hadn't even played a professional basketball game.
Yeah, but, you know.
And Sonny Hill's looking at you like,
oh, he thought
what?
I was. He thought
Are
I was
jumping the gun much?
Yeah, he thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
Man. He did. I guess I was. Let's go to Enzo in Westchester. What's up, Enzo?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Enzo.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
I had to ask it. You guys watch any of that Nova Syracuse game last night?
I did not.
Mm-mm. You brought up Kim Basinger. I could have sworn she was on TV. I think she has a son that plays for Syracuse.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
But anyway, prior to the game was awesome. Jimmy V, they showed Jimmy V's speech back in 93.
Oh, it's the best, man.
My gosh, Joe. What a tearjerker.
Yeah, listen, man, Jimmy V was a special part of sports in America, and what that foundation has done, you know, in the end of his life and then since he passed away, they've raised so many millions, man. It's really good stuff.
I want to talk Howie, but real quick on the Ben Simmons thing, Joe. I think you are wrong because I can see Clutch telling Ben, we're going to make the deal. And you're going to sit for a month or two or 45 days or whatever.
How do you think the new – listen, you could be right. James's instincts there could be right. I think you're not right, yeah. But you could be. But, Enzo, think about how the new town would take to that if they actually sniff out. Because whatever town he goes to, they'll be smart enough to realize. Can you imagine if Ben Simmons then sits out another 30 days just to continue the illusion that mm-hmm. it was anything other than he didn't want to play for the Sixers and play in Philadelphia?
I can, yeah.
That would take it
yeah.
to a whole nother level.
That's what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, you might be right. I tend to think he'll play right away, but you could be right. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You get me heated, Joe, with the Hallie Roseman. You know where I stand with Hallie, brother.
Open your eyes. Open your eyes, Enzo.
To what, dude? Open my eyes to mediocrity. We got lightning in a bottle, and that's what I think you're feeling right now because you want that to happen again, and you're reaching. You know he's going to be here, so you're trying to –
No,
John asked you earlier in the show.
Nah.
No, no. Can you answer John's question? John, ask him that question again because he never answered it.
I did answer. The answer was no. He asked me, am I saying that because I'm resigning the fact that Howie will be here and I'm just trying to sort of, you know, how do you phrase this, John? Convince myself
like
that it's okay.
Make the best of the situation.
Yeah, the answer is no. I give you, yeah. Enzo, if there's anything about this show I would hope you recognize after 5 years, I give you my honest opinion of things. Like my honest opinion of what I think. And what I'm telling you is I'm starting to think that keeping Howie could be the right thing. Now, I'll give you my official answer when the season is over, but my instincts are that keeping Howie will be smart. I mean, Enzo, it's going to be a complicated all right. quarterback situation and all those first-round draft picks. That stuff I think Howie's very good at. Very good.
But why, Joe, why after this season? Why after this season is over when you were out prior? You were out prior to years ago.
Because
like,
they look,
why after this season?
Because I think they're looking better than – I mean, they're pretty much on track for what I expected. I said 9-8. So they're in that zone of having a real chance of that. But I am seeing signs of young players, Enzo, that tells me that he doesn't miss on the same percentage of draft picks he used to. Dude, Landon Dickerson was a great pick, man. And there was a lot of a lot of people around here that doubted that heavily, that pick.
So I bleed green. Like, I know he's not going anywhere. So yep. I've come to succumb to one thing in my mind, that Jeffrey Lurie has hired other people to help Howie this past offseason in drafting.
Yeah, that,
hopefully it continues. Okay?
Maybe that could be.
That's where I'm at with that.
It could be.
Like,
Enzo, give me a movie.
Face.
Give me a movie
like
with a place.
Like the Pope or the President. He's a face.
All right, give me a movie with a place
that's
in the title.
That's where I'm at.
What do you got, movie?
I was going to tell you, I'm not trying to win this, but watch a movie called Dunkirk, Joe. I think you'll like it,
oh,
but I want to go
it.
With In Bruges. In Bruges is a better movie.
Fair enough.
Dunkirk is great. You're just wrong.
I just didn't like Dunkirk.
No, you didn't.
I was confused the whole time.
Is that the one I
You missed the beginning,
saw late.
And it was super important because it explains the timing of the movie.
Dude, that was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
You missed the beginning. You didn't understand.
I did.
That
I missed
three
the first like, 10 or 15
it explains
minutes.
At the beginning of the movie.
I had
hey, it's
no
three separate
idea.
Timelines. If you don't know that, yeah, it's super confusing.
Yeah, James, I had no idea what
no,
was happening.
No movie
time.
Can be great if you miss the first two. I missed about 2 minutes of the movie.
It explains the movie.
Like, yeah, that's on the director.
It's Christopher Nolan. You guys know Christopher Nolan. This is what he does. He does time and mix and missing stuff up, and he makes the audience think. Sorry you have to work a little bit and think a little bit at a movie. I know you like to just not
Nolan should recognize there is a percentage of people who will miss the first 2 minutes of the movie, and let me make sure I don't confuse the hell out of them for the next 2 hours.
I think Chris Nolan thinks if you miss the beginning of the movie, that's on you.
All right,
we
haven't heard from you yet on Howie. You've been out on Howie. Do you swing around at all to consider keeping him, or are you still out?
No, I'm still very, very out on Howie.
Not even close to considering it?
No.
Okay.
Not even close. By the way, like Dickerson, all these offensive linemen stuff, yep. I give way more credit to Jeff Stout. Like Jordan Mailata, like, sure, they took a risk, like Howie gets some credit because he's the general manager, but I give the lion's share of that credit to Jeff Stout.
Yeah, with Mailata, they wouldn't let him play for the longest time.
He wasn't ready to play for a while. Last year they messed up. Having him third string at the start of the season was ridiculous.
He played because everyone else was hurt.
I know. No, that was.
And he won the job, which, you know, he stepped right in and didn't seem like he skipped a beat. And that leads me to believe he was much more ready to play than they were willing to admit.
I totally agree.
He was languishing as a seventh-round pick while the first-rounder was getting all the opportunities, which is quite the theme around these parts.
I know.
If it's truly about competition and the best man wins and the best man plays, you're getting mixed messages from this organization.
I agree.
In this organization, those messages start at the top with Howfrey, the guy that you're defending ad nauseum.
Let's go to Will in Northeast Philly. What's up, Will?
How are you doing today?
Doing well, Will.
Fantastic.
Oh, man, I hear there's a lot of, how we should stay, how we should go. We all know what Howie need to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had his run here. It's time for somebody else, man, to see if they can make a difference. I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy with some of the picks that he had this year, but, you know, we had enough of the up and down. You know, we need somebody that really know how to pick players, know how to, you know, go out and scout the right way, man. But, like, with Sirianni, I'm going to say, you know, it ain't – stop overthinking everything, man. From here on out, it's just straight smash-mouth football, man. Let these guys stop the run. If they can stop the run, then you already know. You just go with your split backs, go with the 12 personnel. Unleash all your weapons right now, man. See what we got. Bring the house for the rest of the
season. Listen, Will, I agree with you. I mean, it's very notable. Since they've committed to the run, no team, and it's probably been about 5 or 6 games so far, no team has stopped the run.
Right.
I mean, no team has even come close to stopping the run.
And what I'm saying, too, is, you know, bring them split backs in, man. You got Thunder and Lightning. Like, if Howard come back, we got Thunder, and then we got Lightning. You know, we got Gainwell.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they have to be in on the same play.
I mean, but, wear them down. Let them wear the defense down. And then just start opening up some plays, man. And bring that 12 personnel and bring that double tight end in, man. Because that's more blocking and more yardage, man. I really believe that.
I got you. All right, Will, give me a great movie with a place in the title.
Hey, man, you know, you can't say no New York movie without The King of New York, baby.
I love that movie.
I don't know that. The King of New York?
King of New York. Christopher Walken back in the day.
No.
It's got a ton of people in it. Wesley Snipes in it. There's a bunch of people in it.
John, do you know that one, King of New York?
No, I haven't seen it.
A tiny part of Snipes. Oh, it's phenomenal. Really, you should watch it.
Right.
King of New York's a great movie.
Fair enough. To Akil in Delaware. What's up, Akil?
Good morning, fellas. Almost afternoon.
Hi.
Good to talk to you guys. Listen, man, I know this is not a popular opinion, but I got to say, I love Howie, man. I love Howie. And let me talk to Philly for a second. We should love Howie. All right. Do you remember how it felt in 2017?
Yeah.
How many GMs, get the job of GM and don't even sniff the Super Bowl? He won the Super Bowl and he had to become the GM of the year to do that. Listen, I love Howie. You should love him. But like people we love, they make mistakes and it hurts the most when they make them. But at the end of the day, they gave you the best thing that you ever had, a Super Bowl. And we're talking about 4 years ago. When's the last time a Philly team won anything? Howie was a huge part of that. I hate some of the picks that he made.
Sure.
But he made enough good
So let me ask you this question, Akil.
He made enough good signing that we won the Super Bowl.
So, Akil, I agree with you on that. Let me ask you this question. How long
in You can't argue that.
How long, in your opinion, should that last as a reason to keep him?
Precisely.
Until something like this happens and a rebuild happens and it doesn't work. Howie is working his magic again. Just like when Chip tried to destroy us, Carson tried to destroy us. He picked up the ball. He shipped him to Indy. He got a pick for him. We're sitting here with three first-round picks and a quarterback that he drafted that nobody wanted that could be the franchise quarterback. He went out and got a great backup who won a game for us last year. I mean, he's doing his job. Is he going to hit on every pick? Nobody does.
Right.
And no, everybody doesn't win a Super Bowl either, but he did. We all wearing rings now because of what Howie has done so far. He's a winner. And he makes mistakes.
He does make
mistakes. Nobody's backing this guy.
All right. Well, listen, Akil, I'm not as strong on Howie as you are, but I will say you're the first caller that has supported Howie today. The first.
I had to do it, man. I had to do it because Philly owes him a debt. They owe him his respect, man. We won the Super Bowl. So he made a bad pick here or there. Did those guys win a chip yet?
No, he made a good pick here or there.
All right, Akil, give me a great movie that's got a place in the title.
That was a good one, John. Sleepless in Seattle.
That's a good movie, too. All right, Akil.
That's a great answer.
Man, Akil's talking my language even more so, but he even finishes with Sleepless, which is
up so, your alley.
John, is that too soft for you, or do you like Sleepless?
Oh, that's a really good movie.
All right.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Like yeah.
Nice.
I thought John would view that as,
totally.
You know, soft.
It's rom-com.
Like, you know, why is Tom Hanks on the phone for that long with the, you know, radio psychologist?
What's that's one of the classic.
Movie,
we don't think they actually end up together in that one, right? I mean
they have no history together.
That's the point. She just meets him on top of the building. She's like, all right, let's go. Now I'm the mother to your kid? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think they end up together.
I mean, yeah, he could be doing things that annoy her. She could be doing things that annoy him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have there's no history together. And yeah, that's a good point, James. I hadn't thought of that before, but that's a pretty good point. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie, up ahead. We've got AMA, You Ask, We Answer. Plus, Ray Dittinger coming up at 12:45 today for an entire hour. And phone calls throughout the show. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
One of the things I love most about my Parx Sportsbook app is that it's not just about picking which team wins when you place your bets. They offer lots of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It just makes watching the game that much more exciting. In football, you can bet on passing and rushing yards, bet who scores touchdowns. In hoops, you can bet points, rebounds, and assists. In hockey, bet goal scorers and individual point totals. Plus, with live in-game betting and the wildly popular same-game parlays, Parx is custom-made for you. And that's why it's the only sportsbook app I recommend. Sign up now. Make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or a player you're watching or bet on any game. Download the app. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Go to parxcasino.com/PA. Use my promo code JRWIP, and you can take a look at what pro football has to offer this Sunday. You've got a fascinating game between division rivals. Dallas with the great offense, Washington with a great defense. Dallas in that offense, they're -4. I think they'll win this game easily. I'll give the points and I'll take the over on 48 points. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the terms and conditions. Do it now. Bet with the best. The only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in Pennsylvania, the Parx Sportsbook app.